praying for him. And the Bible says that as we pray for others, we're healed. Sister Dixon, Sister Marquardt. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking forward to the preaching of God's word, but I'm looking forward to a great testimony that he's going to have tomorrow. Amen. 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 Glory to God. We're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, and would you welcome the preacher? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Schumacher. Appreciate it.
Praise the Lord, everybody. And technically, well, you know, as an evangelist, you're always got the victory and you're always on fire. And so it's just been something I've been kind of putting up with a little bit. So, but I am a year older since last time I preached here, so I don't know. But I mean, I'm 75. I called my daughter, I said, I feel so bad. She said, what's wrong, Dad? I said, I'm pushing 80. She said, just be thankful you're 75, you know? But anyway, thank you, Brother Schumacher. I'm kind of a private guy, you know. I just don't talk too much, but appreciate the prayers, everybody. I really do. Wonderful spirit here tonight, really. And again, every time I'm here on a Sunday night, I'm going to say this. I commend you for still having Sunday night service, you know, because this is being spiritually correct. It is so spiritually incorrect to have less services, and it's spiritually correct to have more services, because we should do it all the more because Jesus is coming. So, amen. So, you can be thankful you have a pastor that wants to do the right thing, you know, really. So appreciate the faithful saints of God here tonight, and I do value my friendship greatly with Apostolic Faith Church. And we've seen God do a lot of wonderful things here, and he's not finished yet, you know. So, and I want the word of the Lord to speak to you tonight, so let's open our Bibles to Psalm 143 and verse 6, while we stand one more moment. Psalm 143 and verse 6. It says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. I stretched forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. We're going to talk about spiritual thirst tonight. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, we thank you, God, for what you desire to do in everyone's life in this place tonight. God, I ask you to help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it, because you know the spiritual condition of every individual that is in this house. And God, again, we come against any hindrance, but God, let the word of God penetrate our understanding. God, bless visitors, backsliders, God, every individual in this house for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. Attitudes are very important to God. In fact, according to Scripture, you can be doing the right thing with the wrong attitude, and it doesn't count. But attitudes make a difference. Now, there's an attitude in Psalm 143 and verse 6 that God rewards, God honors, God desires, God's looking for. It's the attitude of strong desire, the attitude of strong craving, the attitude of thirsting after God. The psalmist said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Those outstretched hands gave witness that something in the depths of his soul and his spirit really wanted God. He said, "My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." Now, in Wisconsin, we might go without rain for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and the grass turns brown, but the weeds are still green, right? But a thirsty land is a Bible, you know, one of the Bible lands that would go without rain for 6 months to 8 months to 10 months. Where not only did the crops die, not only did the grass die, not only did the weeds die, but the land itself died. So what the psalmist is saying, I'm going to die without your presence. I'm going to die without your spirit, because that's a thirsty land. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. So because of that, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. And those outstretched hands gave witness of his thirsting after God. Now, I can understand a little bit where people come from and they say, I don't know if I can raise my hands. I don't know if I can clap my hands. I don't know if I can pray out loud. All right. Now, your pastor already made reference to the church that he was raised in. My wife was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I would go to church with her on Saturday so she could come to church with me on Sunday. And I went to church with her on Saturday, and the scripture in the bulletin said, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. And in the Seventh-day Adventist church, no one raised their hands. No one prayed out loud but the man in the pulpit. And you know what? No one received the baptism of the Holy Ghost either. She would come to church with me on Sunday. We'd pick up the bulletin. It said, clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All right. Now, both of those scriptures are in the Bible. Both of those scriptures are in the Bible. So I remember the first time I brought Sister Mackie to church with me was on a Sunday night. And I didn't put her in the back. There can be a lot of disturbances in the back. I brought her right up and put her on the second row, all right? Now I said, now Judy, I said, the Pentecostal people worship God a little bit more enthusiastically than the Seventh-day Adventist. I said, we raise our hands, the Bible tells us we should do that. We clap our hands, the Bible tells us we should do that. We all pray out loud at the same time because God can hear every one of us at the same time. So I said, I don't want you to be embarrassed by this or afraid of this. I said, because we're really sincere in what we're doing. So the first song that night was a song of worship. Now, sometimes worship songs, like the one that we just sang during the offering, you know, I raise my hands to worship you, are a little bit slower, you know. And praise songs are a little bit more intense and hand clappy and so forth. But so the first song was worship. And you could just sense people beginning to raise their hands, you know, and acknowledge God. And I sensed, you know, my wife to be looking around at all this. And the next song was worship, and people were raising their hands. And the next song was praise. And I mean, people begin to clap their hands. And when you're not used to people clapping their hands in a confined space, you know, that can be very loud to you, you know. And so and then the next song was more praise. And then that testimony service, Sister Grandma Madronich, who was 71 years old, when she received the Holy Ghost, was right behind Sister Mackie, and she was testifying, you know. But Sister Madronich said, I'm 1 year old today, you know. Sister Mackie said, boy, she's senile or what, you know. But she had now had the Holy Ghost for 1 year, all right. But there were tears on Grandma Mandranich's face. And that's when my wife realized this is real. And then before Sister Grandma Mandranich sat down, the power of God hit her, and she danced a little jig and punched my wife right in the back of the head. Right in the back of the head. And my wife, she is white. I mean, what is going on in this place? So I understand a little bit where people come from. I say a little bit because someone for the Milwaukee Brewers can hit a home run. There's about 56,000 people that go, whoa! I can raise my hands. Can't I? Can't you? And then somebody hits into a double play, you know, on the other team, all the people go, boy, I can clap my hands. Can't I? Can't you? All right? I don't know if I can pray out loud and say the name God or Jesus, but people get mad and curse and swear and say the name out loud. I'm here to tell everyone in this house, whether you've been saved for 40 years or not even yet come to an altar, the blessings of God are not given to people that play games with God, trifle with God, folks that are lackadaisical, indifferent with God. There's an attitude that must come into your heart, your soul, and your spirit. Amen. Because, folks, and that's why when you realize you're going to die without God, you're going to die without his presence, and something's deep in your soul now, and you raise your hands, not because someone asked you to, and you raise your hands not because it's Pentecostal tradition, but you stretch forth your hands because say, God, I need your spirit, and I'm going to die without you. Why don't we express that desire to God right now, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, Lord, because my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63. In verse 1, Psalm 63 in verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. See, it's not passive or laid back, it's active. I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want everyone here to know that outside this church, outside the presence of God, is a dry and thirsty land, and there's nothing there that will satisfy you. Nothing. Folks, the money won't do it, the sex won't do it, the pleasure won't do it, March Madness won't do it. Really, nothing's going to do it. And I love opening up an altar because so many times I've seen people that have run the whole gauntlet of sin. They've tried it, they tasted it, they've gone after it, folks, and there's just nothing left. And they come to an altar with broken hearts and broken dreams and broken marriages and broken spirits, you know. And do you know what? God is the difference maker. Folks, he can pick up all the broken pieces and make something new out of your life. And they come and they feel forgiveness. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've heard him say, oh, I wish 10 years ago I would have come to an altar. I wish 5 years ago I would have done this. And folks, if there's anyone here tonight, you've never come to an altar, you've never stretched forth your hands, I wish this would be the night that you say, I'm going to seek God early. I'm going to stretch forth my hands unto God. Hallelujah. Psalm 42 and verses 1 and 2. All this attitude, thirst after God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, this is the attitude of the wounded deer. You know, who said, if I could just get to the water, I'm going to be okay. Now, I have never been a deer hunter, but I remember preaching for a man who told me his first experience as when he was deer hunting. And he was in the tree stand, whatever they call it. And here comes the deer, and he pulls the trigger. The bullet hits the deer, drops. But immediately, it jumped right up again. So the man comes down out of the deer stand, and he's following the blood trail. You know, through the woods where the deer would fall and get up again. And, you know, and now he's been going for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then he can hear a stream. He can hear a river of water flowing. And when he comes out of the woods. Here's this clearing, and here's the deer faint from lack of blood and from the wound. And the deer is just wobbling on all four legs, and as if the attitude of the deer was, if I could just get to the water, it's going to be okay. And it made it to the water and died in the river. And the pastor went in there and pulled the carcass of the deer out. But that's how David felt. That's how the psalmist felt in his attitude. As the deer pants after the water brook, my soul pants after you. It's not lackadaisical, it's intense. It's not laid back, folks, it's on purpose. Hallelujah. Because this is the attitude it takes to find God. And sometimes it's easy to get to be nonchalant with God, and if not tonight, next time, but folks, there's an attitude that God has given us. I mean, there's this promise God has given us. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. The word filled means saturated. It's never a waste of time to come to an altar to hunger and to thirst after God. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 4 in our Bibles. To the Gospel of John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Right. John chapter 4 and verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. See, Jesus knew this woman had a spiritual thirst. Yes, a natural thirst is strong, but a spiritual thirst. And the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If folks, anything natural, you're going to thirst again. In fact, a man dying of thirst will do strong, strange things. A man dying of thirst will crawl to an old, polluted, stagnant pool and push away the scum and the water beetles and stick his hand in there and drink it because he's dying of thirst. When those coal miners in West Virginia a couple years ago, when they were trapped for 30 days, folks, they drank their own urine because they were dying of thirst. And people do strange things when they're dying of thirst. And folks, and then we wonder why the world does what they do and go where they go, because they're dying of thirst spiritually. Because after a while, the cocaine doesn't do it, folks, and the sexual immorality doesn't do it, and the money doesn't do it, and folks, and the new home doesn't do it. You drink of that natural water, you will thirst again. But Jesus said, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's talking about the precious, wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the presence of God. But there needs to be the right attitude to receive it. How can two people be sitting on the same pew, sing the same songs, hear the same message, pray at the same altar, and someone is touched by God and one is not? And God is no respecter of persons. When an individual is blessed, it's not a roll of the dice. I mean, if someone receives the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, it's not just by chance. I mean, before the service starts, God doesn't sit up in heaven with a couple dice and rolls them. 8. God says, all right, every 8th person will be blessed tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're in, sir. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Man, if you were sitting in the wrong place, we'd be jumping around. Where's the 8th spot? But it's not by chance. In fact, every time I'm in church, I say, God, let there be some thirsty people there. Let me be in a thirsty church, thirsty for something genuine, thirsty for a real touch of God, not just for emotion, but really something that comes from the throne of Almighty God. God give us thirsty people, because when you're thirsty, you shall be filled. I was preaching at a church in Chicago, and it was a Sunday morning service. And there was a woman of the Catholic faith that came to the service first time ever in a Pentecostal church. All right. And that morning there was conviction. Boy, Holy Ghost conviction is really a beautiful thing, you know. I mean, in this woman, yes, I could look at her face and God was speaking to her so much. But I saw her looking at the watch when I was getting in and preaching. And so she didn't come to the altar, you know, but she was leaving. And I made a point of leaving the platform and I met her at the door. And I said, ma'am, I've seen God talk to a lot of people. And I know that he is talking to you. She said, I'm so sorry, but I have to go. I have to go. She said, but I will be back tonight. And I said, that's good. You know, and that night, the whole service was led by the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, in some services, you know, we go different tangents and different directions. I'm not saying that's bad. It's not. But this night, it flowed in one direction. And I'll never forget the pastor got into the pulpit. And I'm sorry, dear pastor, but he just could not carry a tune in a wheelbarrow, you know. I mean, but he just got up and said, folks, this old song about heaven is in my heart. So we just started singing it, you know, and the only one could find the right key, but he sang it, and we all joined in. But people begin to get conscious of heaven. The song leader came, the worship leader, and know what? He sang two hymns out of the hymnal that had to do with going to heaven. Amen. And I was watching the Catholic lady now, and she's studying the words of the hymnal, just studying it. And as she did that, folks, tears started streaming down her face. And she would put the book down. She would fold her hands. And she would just pray in the way she's accustomed to praying. You know, the next song, yeah, she's still doing it and studying the words. People stood up and testified about heaven. The choir came and sang about heaven. And this Catholic lady is just listening and wiping away the tears. And so I now come into the pulpit to preach, and I've been preaching for a few minutes. And I remember just having the church just raise their hands and worship God for a minute. So everyone was settling down. It was that little pause, and this Catholic woman stood right up. She said, I want to go with you when you go. She says, I want to make it. She said, I want to go to heaven. And she sat down. And I could see some of the church people going, is that rude or what, you know? Folks, that's not rude. It's thirst. So what did I do? Did I say, listen, ma'am, you sit right there because you're going to really like my preaching and the end of this. No. I said, whoever wants to go to heaven, come to this altar right now. Folks, really, I didn't need to dim the lights or get music, you know? I mean, I don't need music to drink water. Anybody here? I mean, do you hear any music? I love that thought. I didn't need music. I didn't need to dim the lights. I didn't need to get a special effect. I said, whoever wants to go to heaven, come to this altar now. She stood right up again. She's coming down the aisle with her hands raised. Hallelujah, God. And folks, and in 5 minutes, she was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord filled her because of the attitude. Thirsty enough to interrupt the service, you know? Yeah. It's not the will of God people wait 3 weeks, 5 years, 15 years. It is not. In fact, if people are not filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not God's fault. I've seen people almost want to shake their fist at God. No, go home and look in a mirror and shake your fist. What's wrong with you, buddy? You know? Right. Some people are only thirsty when the song is fast. Some are only thirsty on Sunday night. Some are only thirsty at Wisconsin camp. But I'm talking about a thirst that's there when you get up in the morning. I want God. It's there when you go to bed at night. I want God. Hallelujah. I was preaching at a church, testing 1, 2. Is it on? Okay. All right. I was preaching at a church in North Dakota, and it was Wednesday night, first night of revival, and opening service. And there was a farmer and his wife and their three kids that lived about 40 miles, 50 miles outside of Minot, North Dakota,
He's a wheat farmer, and the wheat harvest is in. So every now and again, they would come in 40 miles and go to a grocery store, you know, and they would stock up on groceries. But it, when the long, cold North Dakota winter, this woman was reading the book of Acts. And when she read about the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, she said, I want this. She went to her denominational pastor, you know, and the pastor said, really, Cindy, don't worry about this. It doesn't happen anymore. It died with the apostles. She said, but it's in the Bible. He said, don't worry about it. So now it's the summertime. And so they come into town, and then they get their groceries, and they're leaving town. And Cindy said, I wonder if there's a church in this town that believes in speaking with other tongues. So they go to the Yellow Pages, and I remember this pastor told me, he said, Brother Mackey, he said, I just had a couple $100, and I didn't know what to do with it. So he said, so he put an ad in the Yellow Pages under churches. And the ad said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, and then he gives, so she said, let's drive by the church and see where it is in case we want to go sometime. And so they're coming up to the church, all right, and they're outside writing down the church name and the service times. And the usher just happened to look out the window and see them. So he walks out to the car. And he says, can I help you folks? And Cindy said, yes. She said, I was wondering if there was a church in this town that believed in receiving the Holy Ghost, like in the book of Acts, speaking in tongues. And I don't know what the usher did for a living, but he said, this is it? The only one in town. If you get the Holy Ghost, it's going to be right here. He said, we're having revival tonight. Why don't you folks come tonight? And Cindy is dressed in shorts and a halter top. All right. And she said, no, I don't go to church very often. But I know I should, I said, I would now feel comfortable coming to church the way I'm dressed. The usher said, really, ma'am, you can come like that. She said, thank you, but I don't feel right about it, but I'll come on the weekend, okay? So he said, okay. So Dennis and Sydney get in their car, and they turn the corner, all right? And they see a clothesline full of dresses and shirts. Rummage sale, garage sale. Cindy said, hold it, if there's a dress that fits me. We're supposed to go to that revival service tonight. So Cindy pays a couple dollars for a dress. Dennis pays, buys a little work shirt. And when they come in the door with their three children, we were singing, give me that old-time religion, makes me love everybody. And all the men were hugging the men, and all the women were hugging the women. And I could see their eyes bulge out just a little bit, you know. You know, now, sometimes I've been in Pentecostal churches where I've been a little bit embarrassed about things, but this time I wasn't because it was really genuine. So Dennis and Cindy sat in the very last pew. Of course, the church wasn't as big as this, but you know, so I opened up the altar, and here's Dennis, you know, over 6 feet, and he looks down at Cindy, and they nod their head yes, and they're coming to the altar with their three children. So halfway to the altar, they stop by a woman they had never seen before and put all three of their children in her lap. You should have seen her eyes bug out then, right? I tell you, it's good to be sensitive to that, folks, because little children or little babies can really hinder somebody from praying like they ought to. So help them say, I'll watch your child, okay? And so anyway, so Cindy is at the altar, and I mean, she's praying, oh, Jesus, yes, I feel you, Jesus, I feel you. And there's tears, and she's just trembling already. But Dennis, he's kneeling there, and he's kneeling and folding his hands, and he wouldn't close his eyes for nothing. I mean, boy, he was looking around, you know, and here's Cindy, oh, Jesus. And so finally, Dennis got up and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. So they go to the pastor's office, and he said, no, Pastor, he said, I'm a Norwegian. He said, I'm not emotional. I can't raise my hands. I can't clap my hands, and I can't pray out loud. And the pastor's given him good advice when he said, Dennis, it's not how loud you pray, but it must be with all your heart. Okay? So about that time, here's Cindy just trembling. I said, now, Cindy, that's the Holy Ghost. You will speak with other tongues. Why don't you just raise your hands? And Cindy just raised her hands. Lord, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. And the Holy Ghost fell on her. She began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord filled her. She's hands raised, face raised, speaking in tongues. So I go to the pastor's office. I said, Pastor, this man's wife has got the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. So the pastor comes running. Dennis comes running. Here's his wife, hands, face raised, speaking drinks. Dennis stood on this side and looked at her and listened. And then he comes over on this side and looks at her and listens. And then he falls on his knees again, folds his hands, looks at her one more time, and still will not close his eyes. But he began to laugh. And it was not a little hee-hee laugh either. It was a belly laugh. He went, ha, 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 whoa, yeah. He did that for about 30 seconds. Then tears began to stream down his face. Dennis raised his hands, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! And he began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah! Because they were thirsty enough to stop at a rummage sale, buy a dress, and come to church. God, give us thirsty people! Hallelujah! God will be being a thirsty church. Hallelujah. Yes. Yep. God is no respecter of persons. That's why when I meet people that say, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, I'll sit here and wait for it. I have to tell them, you're going to be sitting and waiting for a while. God give us thirsty people. I remember I had been in 70 countries overseas, but I remember the first time we were going to Southeast Asia, and I was raising some funds for the trip, and I called this man who I know had been there. He said, Brother Mackey, you're going to love going to Asia. He said, because they are waiting for the altar to open. In fact, if you don't open up the altar, they get upset at you. In America, if we open up the altar, they get upset at us. But over there, if we don't, they get mad. They're waiting. And he said, they are so thirsty in Asia that if they need the Holy Ghost and you put your hand on their head to pray for them, they'll take both their hands and hold it there and not let you go till they receive the Holy Ghost. I said, I can't wait. So Sister Mac and I fly into Seoul, Korea. We get on this little rickety bus with our translator, all right, who they hired. All right, to go out to Chungju, Korea. No Americans ever go to Chungju, Korea. All right. But we go to Chungju, and we come to the pastor's home. All right. And you know what? The pastor has no furniture. It's not because he's poor, but in Korea, they just didn't have furniture. When we visited, we sat on the floor. All right. When we ate meals, we sat on the floor in the Korean position. And when you went to bed, you slept on the floor on a mat. This thick or thin, depending if you're an optimist or a pessimist, okay? All right. And you go to bed, and they have rice husk pillows. The pillows are so hard, if you had a pillow fight with your brother, you would break his jaw, you know? Really. I mean, so here we are. And so now, when we come to Chungju that very first night, they have no pews, right? Because all the Koreans are in their kneeling position right here at the altar. Now, they had a couple pews in the back for the little Korean grandmothers or something, you know. They would sit there. So I'm on the platform, and they have no music in Chungju, none at all, no piano or organ or drum. And I noticed that on the pulpit, they have a bell, like the old-timey school bell with the wooden handle, the brass. And folks, I've never seen people worship God as intensely as in Chungju, Korea. And they had a little way of doing it. They would sing the song one, two, two. They would sing the chorus one time, two times, three times, four times, and they would stop, and every hand would go up, and they would worship, 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 and they didn't stop till they picked up the bell and rang the bell. And then there was time for another chorus, all right? And so they would sing another chorus, boy, one time, two times, three times, four times. Yes. And they weren't going to stop. In fact, it was in Chungju, Korea, where God put Psalm 143 and verse 6 in my heart. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. All right. So now I finish preaching, and the pastor says, all right, if you don't need anything from God, please step to the side. If you need healing, the Holy Ghost, please come to the altar. No one moved. They all just wedged in all the tighter. So they sang the chorus one time, two times, three times, four times. Every hand went up, and this time the pastor took the bell and put it under the pulpit. They were not going to ring it one more time, all right? And now all these people are praying. And I remember the first person I came to was this little gray-headed Korean grandmother. I put my hand on her head to pray for her. She took both of her hands and held it there. until God filled with the Holy Ghost, and I saw God fill 18 people with the Holy Ghost that very first service. And it was so simple. Yes! So I thought, yeah, I like this, you know. And then every day in Chunju, we had a service at 5 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and 8 o'clock at night. We did that for the next 4. And every night, it was so refreshing. And then we went to the Philippines. Now, if the Koreans are intense, the Filipinos are excitedly intense. I mean, I've never, the Philippines are amazing, really. And so we were there for 3 weeks, and we were going to these little churches in the jungle. I mean, I remember the first one, it was in Panabo, this little church out in the jungle. It did not even have carpet or anything. It had dirt floors. And I remember Sister Mackie was on the front with the missionary's wife, and boy, her leg was just itchy, and so we shook stuff. And her foot's right in the middle of this anthill, right? Because even ants like Pentecostal churches, all right? Really? Okay, all right. But anyway, so the pastor said, all right, everyone here that needs the Holy Ghost, come and sit on the front row. I mean, if we did that in America, no one would even admit it, much less come and sit on the front row. All right. So there was 4 women and 3 men that came. 7 people, they came and sat on the front row, and during the worship, their hands are raised, and their hands are trembling, and the Holy Ghost is all over them. And then they said, all right, we're going to have Brother Mackey preach. And I said, listen, everybody, let's just let these people receive the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. So we just came down here, folks, the Filipino pastor, some other pastors, and we came to these 7 people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, 4 women, 3 men. I mean, folks, in 2 minutes, they're all speaking with other tongues. So here was the fill. So we had 7 the first night, then we had 12, then we had 18, then we had 22, we had 32. Folks, night after night after night. All right. Oh. And God's no respecter of persons. So now, so we were in Southeast Asia for 13 weeks, all right. Japan, Okinawa, Guam, and so forth. So we were preaching in Guam Sunday morning. All right, they had no Sunday night service, so we got on a plane and we landed in California because we crossed the international dateline. You know, it was still the same day. So Foreign Mission says, well, Brother Mackey, do you want to preach in California? I said, well, I really don't know anyone here. They said, we'll arrange to have someone pick you up, you know, and you can preach, and then you can fly back to Wisconsin on Monday morning. I said, that's fine. So Sister Mackey and I are at the airport with our luggage. And so here comes a man who looked like a Pentecostal preacher, and he was. He said, are you the Mackeys? I said, yes, sir. And they said, well, we're happy to have you with us tonight. So we went out to the curb with our luggage. He said, and I'll pick you up. I'll stay here, and I'll just pick you up. So, I mean, he had a beautiful Lincoln Town Car. You know, I don't care what kind of a car a man drives, but I'd just been overseas for 13 weeks, and no one had a car except the missionary, and they need a car, all right? So here he comes, all right? And so, you know, with the leather seats and everything. So Sister Mackie got in the back, and I was in the front. He was putting our luggage in the trunk. I said, Judy, look at this car. Whoa! I can feel God already, you know. Yeah. So we went to the hotel. We just had a couple hours to refresh and change our clothes. And then they pick us up again. And we come into this magnificent church building. And it was early. No one was there yet, you know, at all. And so we come in, and in the vestibule was this fountain. And they had colored lights on it, you know. And here's this fountain flowing down through these rocks. And I said, Judy, look at this fountain. Are we going to have a move of God tonight or what? Look at this fountain. And then we come into the church. And I said, what is this? Oh, yeah, carpet, C-A-R-P. I haven't seen carpet in 3 months. Wow, carpet, pews, chandeliers, Leslie speakers, microphones. Wow! God is amazing. It's time to start the service. You know, they should have sung, oh, when the saints come dragging in. Oh, I don't know, folks. But anyway, so it was good and worship, and then they turn it over to me and preach. But, you know, it was a large church, and you could tell they were used to preachers. So their attitude was, who is this Brother Mackey? Is he a name brand or what, you know? No, I'm generic, I admit, okay. You know, okay. No, we'll check him out and give him his report card. Folks, I've said it here before. I was just sweating like crazy because I never sweat. Because my heartbeat's only about 65 when I'm walking. It's about 58 when I'm resting. So, I mean, I know men, they sing one song and sweat's pouring off of their head, you know. The only time I sweat is when there's resistance. See, I'm not sweating tonight, so there's no resistance. All right. But if I ever preach here and you see me wiping away the sweat, it's your fault, okay? Really. Really, I just don't. Sweat was just pouring off of me. So I opened up the altar. I said, all right, we're going to open up this altar now for people that want to receive the Holy Ghost and have a renewed touch of God. One young man came. I mean, they came, but yes, one young man was really hungry, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost that night. But you know what? But I remember telling Sister Mickey, I said, I want to get on the next plane and go back to Chunju, sleep on the floor, have raw crabs for breakfast, and sleep on a rice husk pillow. God, let there be people that are hungry. And now listen, everybody, I'm not against carpet or chandeliers. In fact, I believe with all my heart, God's house should be nicer than our own house. All right? But I'll tell you, I've been to the Vatican in Rome with the gold and the silver and the bronze and the tile and the artwork, and it's dead and cold and lifeless. But listen, God's not attracted to carpet. God's not attracted to chandeliers. God's not attracted, amen, to the PA system. Hallelujah. But God is looking for attitudes. God says, let there be someone who is thirsty. Hallelujah. And I want to fill them with my spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yep. Every time I'm in church, sometimes, folks, there are people that haven't raised their hands yet. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. All right. And I was at a large church in California not too long ago. And folks, honestly, listen, for this precious church in apostolic faith, don't get used to the presence of God. Don't take it for granted. Be so thankful every time God moves, you know. And there was almost resistance. And know what? And there was a message in tongues and interpretation. And God rebuked his people, you know. And know what? The one thing God said, God said, I want to bless you. I want to touch you. But you have your cups turned upside down. It's so nice to have your cup. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? Why don't you pray the way you did the first time you received the Holy Ghost? And folks, why don't you do it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, I don't care how many times you've been to an altar, come one more time and pray a thirsty prayer. Hallelujah! Because God's not impressed with good grammar. God's not impressed with sentence structure. God, listen, a thirsty prayer does not come from the mouth. A thirsty prayer comes from the heart and from the spirit and from the soul. Hallelujah, God, I want to die without you, Lord. Amen, that's where God is attracted. Hallelujah. 2 years ago, when I was the speaker at the conference down in Bolivia, folks, there was well over 8,000 people there. I was preaching 20 minutes, and they were coming to the altar. You had to stop preaching because they were coming to the altar. So finally, by the third and fourth night, they actually put ushers in each aisle because, yes, God wants to fill people, but at the same time, people need to hear the word of God, you know, and they need to be taught and instructed. So the ushers were there all holding their arms out, stopping the people, and you find yourself preaching faster, you know. And people would just come. But see, we're in the good old USA tonight, you know. I mean, because we wait for the music team to come, we sing a chorus, and said, all right, this altar's open now. And sometimes I feel just a little reluctance in apostolic people, you know, just to want to come to an altar and seek God. Folks, listen, thank God for an altar that we open whereby you can come, amen, and express your thirst and come and seek God with all of your heart. So here we are, Lord. Folks, here we are, Lord. It's Sunday night. We got the carpet. We got the chandeliers. We got it all. But God, let there be some thirst, some desire Let's stand, shall we? Amen. Don't you just want to raise your hands again? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, they're already coming to the altar, everybody. If you know of someone that needs the Holy Ghost, say, come on, let's get hung. Let's get thirsty. Let's go and the altar and let's have God renew us in the Spirit of God tonight. Hallelujah. He's no respecter of persons. God, have your way, have your way, have your way. That's right. Let's move in close. Let's make room for everybody here tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. I stretch forth my hands. I stretch forth my hands. Oh, I stretch forth my hands. In the name of Jesus, there's renewing here tonight. Hallelujah. There's renewing of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I'm going to die without your presence. God, I need the Holy Ghost more than I need anything. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whoa, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right, God is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Oh, it's hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. Jesus, 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 Jesus.